Hello? Hello? Did that fix the audio? Let's see. I tried restarting. Restarting Streamlabs. I tried. Okay, so is that repaired now? Okay, we got audio now. Nicholas Petrus says sound now. I heard that. Okay, so I was saying sloped roofs. It seems that the explanations of the Secret Service about sloped roofs for justifying why they didn't have a sniper on that roof, why that roof wasn't secured, is nonsense. Because they had secured another roof that was sloped too. So it seems like the Secret Service is either grabbing for excuses or they are making things up as they go to explain why there wouldn't be a sniper on that roof. Or they have these arbitrary requests and decisions made by a woman who was in charge of this and based on the ergonomics of sniper. And not based on reality. It seems that if your sniper was able to be counter sniper in the roof that was like this, certainly they would have been able to counter snipe also from a roof like this. The slope was literally softer on the roof that they weren't covering than it was on the roof that they were covering. That's a first. Secondly, if the roof is sloped, it's not a re suppose that the roof was too sloped for the snipers. Then it's a roof that you shouldn't snipe from, but it should be a roof that you still check the security for. Anyways, there's so much to go through. Today I was on Mark Collett's show on Odyssey. It was great fun. There were a lot of people live. It's good to see Mark Collett again. We talked about all this. We talked about the justifications of the Secret Service. It seems that massive and multi-layer incompetence, at the very least, was at play. We're not just talking about one omission or two. We're talking there is a fundamental problem into how this woman is operating Secret Service. The entire planning, the positioning of the snipers, the caring about the security perimeter. Apparently, there are people from these forces who are reporting anonymously that there's a problem in the whole force, that this woman cares more about how they dress than about the actual security questions. I guess that's to expect when you put a woman in charge, but. Are we at that point where the mismanagement by woman will lead to the death of a future president? It seems that we are. And Sam Harris is coping. What's affecting him in this whole assassination is the fact that Trump wasn't killed. I mean, he won't say it in under these words. He will say, "Oh, it would have been terrible if he was killed." But let's be honest here, Satan couldn't have made it better. First, it's weird to hear atheist Jew Sam Harris have a concept of Satan. I don't think it's the same Satan as us, though. Explore your mind. Learn meditation.
Welcome to the Making Sense podcast. This is Sam Harris. Okay, well, not much happening in the world. I'm recording late in the day on Monday, so about 48 hours after the attempted assassination of former President Trump.
See, most people have switched to the respectful President Trump. But the truly Trump deranged people, they stuck to former president. Sam Harris is one of the last people on Earth calling Trump former president. Everyone on the left has switched to President Donald Trump.
I'm sure I'll have more to say about this when I speak to Ann Applebaum on the podcast later in the week. Over at Substack, I've written a flurry of short posts in the last 2 weeks or so, all on politics, all of them arguing that the Biden campaign is over, whether or not Biden and his team realize it. And I think that's even more true today.
Well, yeah, of course. The sympathy of the shooting. Although, you know, I'm starting to think that the sympathy of the shooting will not be that massive overall. I still think that Trump is in a very tight race. And he shouldn't be. I think it should be easy after a shooting to win a presidency. But I think that he's still in a very tight race. That my feeling tells me that the Democrat machine for voting has not been fully abandoned.
I don't see how Biden runs against Trump in the aftermath of this near assassination, which, as horrible as it is and was, and I'll talk about that, the net result for Trump is about as good as you could imagine. Had this been stage managed by Satan, it could not have been better.
This is a spectacular sentence. Stage managed by Satan, it couldn't have went better for Trump. I think that the Satan that Sam Harris has in mind is a Satan that would have been on the side of Trump. It's a Satan that would have been a conservative Satan.
For Trump. So this is just to say that I think the Biden campaign is even more doomed than it was last week. But perhaps any Democratic campaign is doomed at this point. That remains to be seen. Obviously, Biden hasn't dropped out yet, so all of this is academic for the moment. But after Saturday, I think you have to expect we will have a second term of President Trump. I don't know what prediction markets are saying at this point, but it has been an extraordinary 48 hours. I think I'll just read the short post I wrote yesterday about the attempt on Trump's life. First, one thing I didn't say in the post is, had the shooter succeeded, whatever you think about Trump and the risks he poses to our democracy, that outcome would have been catastrophic. Nothing good would have come from a successful act of political violence.
Well, maybe something good for you, Sam. You might have Nikki Haley at the head of the Republican Party and feel much safer for your Jewish interest going into the election.
Which is a very long and callous way of saying that I am very happy the shooter missed. Obviously, one person did die, a man.
Importantly, the shooter really targeted properly. It's impressive. We will see 3D models of the head of Trump. It's amazing. It's really a movement of Trump that saved him. A random movement of the head. Trump, you know, tends to say, let's look at, and he makes a amplified movement. If it was Biden, the bullet was going straight in his head.
Protecting his family. That is absolutely tragic. And I believe two people are in critical condition.
Okay, well, I think that's pretty much... I just wanted to show you the mood of Sam. I don't think he says anything important. Elon Musk is going after child attacks on the family in California. He's moving SpaceX out of California. He said this is the final straw because of this law and the many others that preceded it. Attacking both families and companies, SpaceX will now move its HQ from Hawthorne, California to Starbase, Texas. More or less, Elon has been basically doing this with most of his companies at this point. He's moving out of California. He didn't like their behavior during COVID. But here they are coming with a law that teachers can decide that your kid is trans without your information at all, without you being informed at all about it. So basically, they have effectively become parents. Concerning the shooter, everything that's coming out is interesting. We'll do a full review, but we still don't have enough to know the psychological motivation of the guy. We're starting to have insight into the psychology, but it's not enough to make a full profile. What we learned today is that this was a know-it-all type of guy. Now, this is not much information, but I think this is solid information we're getting from people who were interacting with him at school. He was know-it-all on many things. And the guy we have the information from is Hispanic, and he was saying, I'm a Hispanic, and I vote for Trump back in the days. And the shooter had responded, well, you're stupid. So this was a guy who was considering probably such a leftist, and this exists, it's very widespread in leftism, where they think that immigrants are stupid when they vote right-wing. Because in their interpretation of the world, if you're an immigrant, you should want to vote left-wing because we're going to vote for social welfare for you. We want to help you. The left wants to help so much that when the subject, the targets of this help start voting right and start voting Trump, they're like, you are fucking stupid. They really have this disdain for immigrants who vote Trump. So I think that given that he had these narcissistic kind of... And one other thing that we hear from this guy is that he was know-it-all. He talked about subjects and he was kind of condescending. And it was always about him and how he knew how things work. So we have someone who's kind of entrepreneurial, who wants to do it himself, who doesn't like delegation. That's the kind of personality that can converge toward a project like shooting a upcoming president. So that's one insight. And perhaps some degree of narcissism in this guy, where he thought that he had the answer politically that everyone else was too stupid to hear. Puzim says, in the 3D model, shouldn't his hand have been blown up with the second shot? Well, no, because the second shot, we don't know where it went, but typically a second shot in short consecutive shots in a series, the second shot will be extremely more imprecise. So although the targeting was almost perfect for the first shot, After the shot, you get the drawback, you get the pushback. You need to be relatively well-trained to understand how to reposition yourself for the second shot. And my suspicion is that probably he wasn't precise in that second shot. So one other thing we learn about the shooter is that they say he had a transmitter. Well, it was this piece of thing, whatever that is. It looks like it could be an AC remote or a garage remote. To me, it's not so important. Although, you know, they've been memeing about this on the social media as if it was evidence of transmission, you know, a transmitter for secret services. I think it's more like it was a piece of stuff that he was carrying on him because maybe it helps him get into his garage or whatever. I don't think it's particularly significant, unless we have more evidence about what this transmitter was for. This is the 3D model, so let's have a look. Now, keep in mind, in this 3D model, don't trust the location of the second bullet. We don't know where the second bullet was. So just trust the location of the first bullet. It's the only one we have a point of reference for. So here they are scanning the face of President Trump, and they're determining from the top view that's how his cranium should look. and have a look as he moves his head and the bullet will come.
Take a look what happened.
So at this frame, the bullet would have went into his cranium.
Take a look.
At this frame, the bullet would still have went into his cranium.
What happened?
Sudden head movement. What happened? And he turns, and poof. We already heard a clack. That is the clack of the bullet starting at the gun, which was a few hundred meters or whatever, whatever. It was far. So we hear the first tick. That was the explosion of the gun. Now the bullet arrives, grazes the ear, and then we hear a tuck. That's probably the bullet hitting, perhaps, on the crowd, or it's the echo of the initial boom. And so the movement of the head was done within half a second before the bullet arrived. The head before that second was like this. So he would totally be dead if it wasn't of this head movement. It all relied ultimately on a single second, a single head movement, and a few millimeters of angle that the shooter had. We have other details that I want to go through. Viva Frey reports. They wouldn't want to put a Secret Service agent on a sloped roof because that would be a security concern, so they secured it from the inside, which means that the Secret Service was in the building from which a sniper was shooting the president from the unsecured sloped roof. Lock her up now. I mean, I don't know what the Secret Service chief is thinking about these appearances, but to me, they make her position worse.
When you saw the events unfold on Saturday?
Shock, and then concern, obviously, for the former president.
Investigators now trying to determine whether roof access had been properly locked down. The shooter climbing...
Like, this is the least slope you can possibly have on a roof, as far as I'm concerned. If you don't go on that roof because of the slope, you're not going on any roof.
Up seemingly unimpeded, about 400 feet from the stage, with a direct line of sight on the former president.
Wow, so that gives us... Wow, so he had the perfect, just the perfect angle. Wow. And yeah, I'm kind of shocked that her answer is shock. The job of the Secret Service is to not be shocked. You're not supposed to be reactive to all these things. You're supposed to be there either underground or you're with your phone and your CBs and you control your teams. Shock isn't supposed to come into play. You're supposed to be handling this. You're supposed to be in it, so much in it that you don't get shocked.
President.
Should that roof have been secure, period?
That building in particular has a sloped roof at its highest point. And so, you know, there's a safety factor.
First, the sloped roof is across the building. It's not at the highest point. The very idea... This woman doesn't even have geometric basis. The slope isn't sloppier at the top of it. The idea of a slope is the phenomenon that happens between the peak and the bottom. See, that's as slopey as this, and this is as slopey as this, and this building is sloppy throughout. Basic geometry stuff here. And secondly, this is the smallest slope I have ever seen be called a slope. This is slope at a resolution. At this point, you don't even detect it. Even I don't like heights, okay? I wouldn't go on a sloped roof because I'm afraid. I'm afraid of falling. But this sloped roof, I would feel safe on it. I would go on this sloped roof. It's not a sloped roof.
That would be considered there, that we wouldn't want to put somebody up on a sloped roof.
Well, it's not about whether you want to put someone on a sloped roof. If there's a citizen who can use this sloped roof for a shooting, then you should, with your professional teams, you should be at least as willing as the citizen. You should be at least equally skilled and of course better, because you have training, you have the better equipment. And someone pointed out in this meme, listen, this was judged not too slopey to put a counter sniper on. This has more slope than this. So it's bullshit, your excuse. This is such non-slopey roof that you have four people and they're not even hanging onto anything. They can literally walk on it like it's the ground. So bullshit excuse. Either you're making it up or or it's a ridiculous rule that was violated by these snipers. These snipers decided that it was not too slopey. And apparently this is the very sniper that neutralized the shooter. Lendold Guntram says, JF was molded by Vertigo. Absolutely, absolutely. I wouldn't ever work on a roof, except if I can work from... If I have a ladder, I can stay on the ladder, okay. But I'm never stepping on the roof. Never, 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 because I would be too afraid to die. This is not something I will do. James says, I used to be a roofer on roofs, triple the slope, making minimum wage. This is the dumbest argument ever. Absolutely. I don't know what she's thinking here. Meanwhile, Destiny is getting banned from Kick. Destiny banned from Kick for making fun of innocent firefighter who got killed at the Pennsylvania rally. And Destiny has went on to Piers Morgan, ridiculed himself. He's getting ridiculed and owned by Piers Morgan. It's good to see the mob that Destiny didn't hesitate to conjure upon me. Destiny attacked me with mobs and lies and hit pieces. It's good to see him pursued by the very mob that he invoked against me. And in his case, you know, it's not lies. In his case, they're going after him for something he's actually standing by. And it's a statement that, of course, I would wish we're in a society where we can make provocative statements and people just ignore you. But we are in a society of cancel culture, and right now it's turning against the cancelers. there is discussion around this video. I think this video is misleading because it takes for granted certain things that I'm not sure about. Let's have a look.
Something to say. Take a look what happened.
So the video notes that there is some smoke coming out here. So basically a bullet has ricocheted up to some place here, it seems.
Take a look what happened.
So you can see the smoke coming here. Okay. That means that the bullet ended there. But I wouldn't say we know what was the trajectory of that bullet necessarily before. So, okay, that's very interesting. Something has led to particles being generated here. Now, the video will conclude that therefore, and the other comes from another angle, therefore there must be two shooters. I think that's the wrong conclusion. I think the conclusion is, okay, there was a ricochet, and somehow it ended there. And then we will see another point of impact, which appears to be someone in the crowd, I think. It's someone here. You will see this guy has just fallen. It seems like he may have been touched by one of the bullets. So you see this guy falling. And you know he's falling before anyone else reacts. So the reaction of fear from the crowd can be very much delayed, but it seems that this guy was impacted because it seems like he felt the bullet in his belly.
If you want to really see something that said, take a look what happened.
So I don't conclude from this video that there were two shooters, because the guy argues, well, those are two angles. Well, first, you can have ricochet. You can have the shooter just shooting at two angles. And you can have the bullet in a particular path hitting some obstacle and in just a slightly different path, not hitting the obstacle at all, and you end up having many meters of difference between the two impacts. Secondly, the particles that were emitted onto the bench, you don't know that the bullet arrived precisely here. The bullet could have resonated onto a metal bench that led to dust release further. You don't know that those are the precise impact points of the bullet. So what I would say is this video is very interesting. It's very interesting to do the work and get through the details and see this video evidence that indicate that there were locations that can be identified. But you have to be careful not to interpret too much from it. John Drake says, what about the reports of a shooter on the water tower nearby? Know anything about it? I mean, this is something we've heard. I heard them. There are people who claimed that there were reports of a shooter on the water tower. But it seems very loose. It seems like maybe this building could have been misinterpreted for a water tower, or maybe someone could have misunderstood an initial report, started seeing people yelling, water tower, water tower. It seems like this is not solid. It's not like an identifiable person coming and saying, no, I can assure you there was one shooter on the building and one shooter on the water tower. And even if you had seen a shooter on the water tower, it could be a police sniper. So I know that this theory is out there, that there were two shooters, but I don't see it being particularly supported for now. James O'Keefe says, from my source inside the Secret Service, the director brought a new edict on what socks we can wear, no pocket handkerchiefs, and only blue or black suits. That's what she's worried about. They want us to be more like Disney. I'm seeing a pattern here. So people inside those police forces are worried about the management of the team. It seems to be very feminized, very concerns around clothing and all. And one thing that's very worrying is you realize the parents of this boy, they probably knew what was happening. And in fact, they called the police before the shooting even happens. Now, someone pointed out, if your child is missing for a couple of hours and your reaction is to call the police and be worried, you probably know something about your child. Like, a regular child, okay, you know, he's 1 hour late. We haven't seen him for an hour. Let's see if he comes back. Let's see what. But they called the police worried, knowing that he had gone outside the home with a gun and had went to the ranch for shooting, the practice range. He had went to the practice range, he told them. But I believe that these parents probably knew that their kid was a violent, perhaps schizophrenic narcissist. Because listen to this.
We have just learned that the Trump rally shooter, Thomas Crook's parents, were looking for him in the hours leading up to the shooting. We're now told they eventually called law enforcement to report that Crooks was missing, and they were worried. And they also were told, those parents are now being cooperative now with authorities, but they gave them the heads up that something's going on with our son. We are worried. We don't know the texture or the details of their concerns. So in other words, well, were they worried that he had a gun? Were they worried? You know, what were they worried about? Were they worried that he was going to try to attempt to kill a sitting president and then go ahead and assassin, turn into an assassin and kill?
They had to see signs he was insane, says Chuck Garrity. Yes, when you have someone like this in your family, you totally see it coming. Now, that doesn't mean that they could have stopped it. Because sometimes you know that your child is crazy, but you don't know if he's going to do a shooting today or in 5 years from now. So it's not necessarily a case where they have something to reproach to themselves. But it seems like they knew a lot. If he's going out with a gun to the practice range, they call the police because they're worried, because he's missing for a couple of hours. This doesn't look like a healthy family relationship. It looks like there is something wrong here. One or plus hour before the shooting, Crooks walking around building and looking up. So that is a new video. Again, we have more and more video coming in. That is another new video where we can see Crooks here, apparently. Walking around the building. Pacing. And apparently that is where he might have used his rangefinder to measure the full distance. I mean, this guy was relaxed. This guy was chilling around the building, locating Trump, making his measurements. We have time, gentlemen. We have time. And there are people who are saying that apparently there were suspicions rising around this guy, Thomas Crook, during the shooting for up to an hour before he shot. That he was rejected, that they identified him with his rangefinder, that they followed him at first, they started photographing him. And this is from the Secret Service chief. They have photos of him before the shooting. So there were people affairs at documenting his presence. But they took photos of him and then they lost his trace. They lost his trace and he went around the building and up and could do the shooting. It's unbelievable the number of layers of issues that have happened for this guy to get a clean shot at Trump, and clean shot he got. Reynard Oak says, how did that sniper team not see slash hear him on their roof? I mean, it's hard to tell given the size of the building. Would there be audible evidence that someone is walking on the roof? It's a metal roof, but you never know. Maybe there's insulation. Maybe there's a layer of ventilation material. Possibly, possibly not. I don't know. People are reporting on the regular chat that Biden has announced that he had COVID-19. And this he's announcing now after going in the morning and going on interview. And he said something like, if I had a major disease, I would resign and I would leave my spot to someone else. So is it possible that they're pulling a whole theater here in front of us? That Biden has decided that he was leaving the race, but he's doing it in steps. So this morning he said, if I had a major disease, I would resign. This afternoon, I have a major disease. I have COVID-19. It's they will recycle the COVID-19 stuff forever. They use this as a political tool in so many ways. Stephen Robinson has shared a picture of Biden beating COVID. Apparently, Biden has gotten better. He's not going to resign. In fact, pictures of him as he was getting rid of COVID have been published on Twitter by the Right to Bear memes. Here's Biden heroically standing up after a COVID infection. He has successfully beaten death. And now it's amazing to see the left in defeat mode. Just the same way we saw Sam Harris. They are, at this point, they are assuming that Trump is the next president. And CNN admits that Trump is on course for a landslide win. CNN's John King highlighted Tuesday how Donald Trump is on course for a historic landslide victory in November and could get as many as 330 electoral votes. Only 270 are needed to win. It's amazing to see the left not knowing what to do, because the left has so much power over institutions and they fucked our society up. But this kind of chaotic event that Trump masters so well, they don't know what to do against it. And at this point, they are explicitly basically saying it. It's like they feel totally resigned and abandoned. Richard Spencer says, punching down is bad luck. This woman might very well be going through some personal struggles that sparked her nasty comments. Yeah, so this Home Depot woman, she said something along the lines of wishing Trump was killed, and she lost her job. I love when people like Destiny get punished for supporting cancel culture. I love when cancel culture turns against the left. But this random woman at a Home Depot, I don't take pleasure in her life being destroyed. But at the same time, it's what you guys have created, the left. You've created a world in which I can't do my right-wing jokes. And so you can't do your left-wing jokes about dying and about presidents being shot. I wish we were in a different world. And you tell me when you want to go back to a world where I can make my racist jokes and not be banned from anywhere. And you can make your Trump death joke and you won't lose your job. I would love if we could make that world together. Matt Beebe was the one commenting. I mentioned this earlier. He said, if your 20-year-old son being a couple hours late is going to give you a gut feeling that you need to call the cops, maybe you shouldn't loan him your AR-15. But if he's been accused of homicidal ideation, maybe really don't loan him your AR-15. Yes, I mean, these... Like, I am all for parents rooting for their children. But you have to be careful when you enter the domain of giving them deadly force. That is way too dangerous. You know, root for your child. That means perhaps even hide certain things about your child because you want to protect him from society. You want to protect him from unjust treatment. You might want to protect them from loss of rights in psychiatric wards. But don't hand him the AR-15 if you think he's homicidal. That's another cancel story. Tenacious D's Kyle Gass dropped by agent after Donald Trump assassination comment. What a load of crap this. I can't believe people are going to see Jack Black and the Tenacious D group of comedy doesn't look fun. Seeing the clips doesn't look funny at all. But and they're canceling. Well, it's cancel culture turning against anti-Trump Jews, which is quite amazing. Nicholas Petris says Tenacious D used to be enjoyable at some point. Maybe. I don't know. You would have to show me the records of when that was. The perpetrator of the attack on Trump was spotted and photographed on the roof by law enforcement nearly 30 minutes before firing. 30 minutes of preparation. This is why the counter sniper was already in position. Like, he was looking through his scope. You can see what happened. He was looking through his scope. Then he was looking away for a minute, for a second. And then you hear pop, pop. And then he goes back to his scope. And it's like, it takes him 1 second. It takes him something like 1 second to kill the sniper. It's like, like it's you doing your morning toast. It's the same way I press on the toaster button. That's how quick the sniper was able to neutralize the shooter. But if he was that quick at doing it, you must have been aware of him. You must have put him in your sight. You knew exactly the height and everything you had to do it. He did it robotically. Now, I'm happy that we have such good snipers. But at the same time, it provides me evidence that you guys knew what was going on. People highly shorting the Donald J. Trump stock before the planned assassination. I don't know to what extent that's true, but that's published by Died Suddenly, which they have been publishing some very interesting stuff about the vaccine. Is it true that there was an heightening open interest in shorts for the Donald J. Trump brand, which is probably representing his ownership of Truth Social? They would have jumped from 29 to 42, almost double the amount of open interest. Now, they are saying that they will be investigating who who made a massive stock bet on the death of Donald Trump. Because if we can find these people, that would be there would be people who may have been involved or who know something about who ordered this. DK Shadow says, didn't something like this also happen on 9/11? Absolutely. So that is strong evidence of prescient knowledge. Renard Oak says, JF, you are still new to game development. Just wait until you have to deal with slopes. Bro, I'm thinking in 3D. Bro, you have no idea where I'm at. I'm into raycast. I'm into 3D positions. I'm into slopes. I love how game development in the last month has changed my brain. Totally changed my brain. I am now in 3D. We are all living in a 3D world. That is regular JF. Like, I used to live in a 3D world for all my life until 40 years old. I've always been in a 3D world. But it's a totally different thing to be programming into a virtual 3D world with coordinates, with the math of vector trees, of, you know, triple coordinate vectors. The math of rotation, the math of angles, I am totally in it. You're telling me, like, I will in the future encounter slope. Fuck you! I live in the slope. See, this is... Maybe I should have been the counter-sniper. Maybe even a computer-controlled counter-sniper I would have, like, she would have said, Jeff, are you sure you want us to set are you sure you want us to set this automated gun on a sloped roof? And I would be like, all I need to know are the angles. Give me the angles and set it up. Evan Kilgour has some wild, but appears to be compatible with everything else reported. Reports. Chilling development timeline. Thomas Crook tried to bring a rangefinder into the Trump rally at 3 p.m. He was monitored until Secret Service lost track of him when he allegedly returned to vehicle to retrieve his firearm and a transmitter. 40 minutes before the shooting, a photo of him crawling on the ground was circulating within SS as a suspicious person. Minutes before shooting, Crooks was confronted by police, but police backed down after Crooks pointed a firearm at him. Now, with all these suspicions, it would seem to me that... DK Shadow says, lost track? Was he Jason Bourne? It seems that they're losing track of the guy. Not as he... like acts 007 and deploys all sorts of smoke screen. It seems they just lose track of this guy because he goes to pick up his weapon from his pickup truck. Like, oh my god, how Jason Bourne was overdoing it. Jason Bourne with all of his methods, and like he learned elbow strikes and choo-choo, he has to kill agents with his hands to just survive a couple of hours. But this guy, no, he's just, all right, I'm gonna go pick up my firearm at my pickup truck, and that's enough to put the Keystone Cops away from his tracks. Yeah, I mean, it's a damning list of things that all appear to be true here, according to the group, all of the reports we've had. Meanwhile, these people are very frustrating. They are trying to redirect the responsibility for the assassination attempt to Iran. Mark Levin. Iran assassination plot against President Trump. Now, they're taking unrelated intelligence from like a month or two ago that there's no evidence whatsoever that this is linked to the current shooting, but it was intelligence that was saying loosely like, oh yeah, you know, Iran might try to kill Trump. Like, here, I am an intelligence agent. Here, you're paying me $200,000 a year. I'm going to write a little piece of paper. Iran might try to assassinate Trump. Lick the envelope, send this to the central command. A memo. Literally a memo, an intelligence memo. And they're trying to say, oh, well, you know, here's an assassination of Trump. We had a memo that was indicative that Iran wants to assassinate Trump. This needs to be mocked, just like the Mr. Evil, Dr. Terror. In French, I believe he's called Dr. Terror. And I think you guys in English call him Dr. Evil. It's one or the other. I have it mixed up in my mind when he says, right. Iran set up a plot and this particular guy is bringing the identity. I'm not sure about the identity of the shooter yet. The bitch slap heard around the world. This is Destiny being ridiculed by Piers Morgan. Look, Destiny has adopted an undefensible position.
Conservatives can say anything.
No, I'm not a conservative.
They can have any conspiracy theory.
I'm not a conservative.
They can have any, but they can do any of these things. And then liberals are supposed to sit here and be like, God, it's so tragic.
No, Destiny.
Absolutely not.
Let me explain. Absolutely. Let me explain my position, because I'm not a conservative. I'm not on either side in your race, right? Here's what I think about what you did. You'd like to fire off, as you've done so far in this debate, about your fury at how disgusting Republicans are, how inhumane they are, how they never have any empathy, blah, 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 blah. And then you yourself actually are exactly the person.
Okay, it's normie morality being imposed onto Destiny. I don't have much to say. Destiny has been a disappointment intellectually. He's probably just trying to surf on scandalous statements. And who cares? Destiny has already made his money. So he's going to just keep doing whatever he wants. He's uncancelable in a way because he's already made the money. But what's stunning is how he is accepted among the circles of the Jordan Peterson and the Ben Shapiros, how he get interviewed by these guys. Richard Spencer says, I'm voting for Joe Biden, dementia and all. The nomination of J.D. Vance has reminded me what the GOP really is. Very well stated by Richard Spencer. It is extremely worrying what's been happening, especially this shit show of a Republican convention in which they're all about Indian prayers and black jobs and nothing in it for white people.
Record low unemployment rates for African Americans, Hispanic Americans, Asian Americans, and women. Record.
Yeah, but what about men and white males? A defenestrator says, Jeff, your smart blacks being Indians theory has some merit. Indian American actress Mindy Kaling's brother applied to medical school as a black man. Well, thank you for sending me this link. Very interesting. The story on CNN of an Indian passing as black. I think we're going to see this more and more with the there's such demand for intelligent blacks that there has to be some spillover where some Indians are black enough to look African. I mean, it's going to happen. The RNC was such an unmitigated disaster the first day, says Devin Stack. Just a sea of white boomers dancing to boomer rock and cheering on black people and Mexicans, telling them they weren't racist, like some kind of sick faith healing spectacle of gayness. That's exactly how it felt. The Republican convention, very disappointing. It means that they are explicitly going for it. They're going for the centrist, center-left, mainstream acceptance. And it's so sad because we can expect so little from this. There was a leak of a phone conversation between RFK Jr. and Donald Trump right after the shooting. The audio is not super high quality, so I won't play it here on the show. But basically what we heard from the link is... from the leak is Donald Trump's feeling as he was receiving that bullet in the air. He says, I felt it in the air. It was like the biggest mosquito bite ever. It was like the bite from the biggest mosquito in the world. So that's how it felt to receive a bullet grazing and perhaps even piercing his earlobe. Very interesting, very interesting. To have a first-hand account of the feeling. It has to hurt because it is a very high-speed projectile just busting your skin reacts. New guy says, so he's never been stung by a bee. A bee hurts a lot. A bee, it's incredible. I've been stung by a bee in the belly. I had a big red spot like this all over my belly from the sting. And it's crazy how it hurts. It hurts, like, at the moment. It hurts immediately. It's crazy. Doubting Thomas says, J.F. Trent Horn provided a philosophical breakdown of how the destiny situation is a result of trying to take rhetorical consistency to an absurd level, whereas it was previously understood the perils of this. I guess that in a way, I guess I am all for consistency and for because there is a normie morality that is inconsistent. Like the way normies act like they're liberals and really they're not, and in the end they are extremely bent towards social rejection. That's a thing worth calling out. And perhaps Destiny is the one trying to call out some aspects of normie inconsistency on the left. Perhaps that's what he's doing. And sometimes it makes sense to do so. It makes sense to say, hey, if you guys are going to do this, I'm going to do that. I mean, personally, I can't complain against people celebrating quasi-death or celebrating the harm or the potential harm on my side of politics, because I do this consistently. Every time a big thinker dies and he hasn't read the Revolutionary Phenotype, I'm like, yeah, you know, I'm pissing on your tomb. So I can't be here telling you that I'm so scandalized about what Destiny is saying or what Jack Black is saying. All I can do is call the double standard of the left on this. Ex-comedian Zelensky claims that veteran J.D. Vance doesn't understand war. In a resurfaced video, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky voiced cynical remarks against J.D. Vance. He said that Vance, a Marine veteran, seemed clueless about the ongoing war between Ukraine and Russia. That's back in the days when J.D. Vance has been a voice trying to to minimize the intervention of the U.S. in the Ukraine-Russia war. Now, that doesn't mean that we can expect J.D. Vance to be that much of an anti-war militant, because I think that J.D. Vance wasn't putting the brakes on war with Ukraine in a pacific sense, in a sense of not liking war or being anti-war as a whole. I think that J.D. Vance is just part of a certain branch of Jews who don't take the Ukraine war seriously. They are more focused on Israel, Israel-Gaza, and Israel-Iran. And I believe what we should expect from J.D. Vance is a diversion away from the funds that are pushed toward Ukraine, but an equal investment of the U.S. into Middle Eastern wars, and in particular, provoking Iran. Senator Menendez officially convicted for taking bribes in gold and cash. In 2017, he claimed that Bitcoin was an ideal choice for criminals. Well. First, it is very hard to do crimes with Bitcoin, because you can do the payment and all, but it becomes quite the headache when you want to ramp out of Bitcoin. When you want to go from Bitcoin to cash, you are all subject to all sorts of verification mechanism. So we see here that a criminal actually uses gold and cash for committing crimes. And Nicolas Fuentes, as a last news item, is bringing this quote from J.D. Vance. It's pretty disgusting to equate American with white, given my writing and speaking on this topic, not to mention my biracial family and non-white son. Literally, the memes of 2016 have become a reality. We have a vice president saying, "Hold on a second, I have to go care for my non-white son."